My name's Erin Phelps. For those of you who don't know me, I'm an incoming college senior at Wingate University, and sometimes in the summer and randomly during the year, I come here and attend my home church. This was actually my third trip to the DR with First Baptist, and when I told people that I was going back to the Dominican Republic for the third time, some were really supportive and some financially supported me. Some reminded me to be careful and to not drink the water, but some scoffed and said something along the lines of, but there are so many other countries that have greater needs. Trips like this can sometimes leave us being thankful for things that are great necessities, like clean water, a full pantry, and safety. But those who are less fortunate are those who don't have these things. The people with the biggest need are those who don't know Christ and don't trust in him. Knowing Jesus and what he accomplished on the cross is something everyone in every country needs, regardless of their economic status, their preference on air conditioning, the language they speak, or their involvement in church programs. Thinking that physical needs are what is needed most may reveal something about your own heart. Do you know Christ? Do you really believe that the ultimate goal of missions is to share the gospel with others, regardless of whether they live in Shiloh or Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic? Even if you are a Christian, do you believe that you need to remind yourself of the good news of Christ every day? The gospel is this, that God created us to worship him, but because of our inherently sinful nature and God's perfect nature, we are born separated from him. Fortunately, God sent us his son to the earth to bridge the gap between people and himself. God's son, Jesus, came, lived a perfect life, never sinned, and paid the price so that imperfect people could be in a relationship with the most perfect and holy God. He took the penalty of sin, which was death, upon himself because only he could make a way for us. Being fully God and fully man, Christ became our advocate, our redeemer, and ultimately the reason for missions. The goal of missions is to proclaim the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to people everywhere in the world, despite language barriers. Through the power of prayer and the privilege of being commissioned by Jesus to spread the message about him, the Holy Spirit moves hearts to turning away from their sins, trusting in Christ, and following him. God saw it fit to bring this young man in the picture above, I believe. Yes? Okay. God saw it fit to bring this young man to himself for his glory and not for our glory. This young man's salvation is not our victory, but a result to the victory Christ has over sin and death, and which was accomplished on the cross. This young man's salvation reminds me that the ultimate goal of missions is to proclaim this message, because Romans 10:13 through 17 says, "For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. This young man has attended Noe, who's one of the Dominican missionaries we work with, his youth group for the past year. And Noe has faithfully preached the gospel to him all year. This young man heard the Lord's call and responded, and I pray that if you have not responded to this message yourself, that you trust in Christ's work on the cross and turn away from your sin. For those who are praying for unbelieving family members and friends, be faithful in sharing the good news of Christ with them and never stop praying for them. The Lord is faithful even when we are faithless, as 2 Timothy 2:13 says. And Christ has done the work for us, and we are only called to share what he has done, whether we're in Shiloh or Santo Domingo.
Everybody can relax. I've got one small page of notes, but it's not bold print. First of all, I'd like to say that thank you to my family and church family for your support and prayers. This was my first trip to the DR. I've been to the Gulfport area a couple times after Katrina and to Haiti twice. And one thing that I found out real quickly, God is the same no matter where you go. And when people have need, Jesus is always the answer. Sometimes catastrophe and awful situations are the door that open to that opportunity to share the gospel. So how do you pick one thing out of a very eventful week with this group of people in another country? Well, I thought about it, and I wanted to speak about something that was stood out to me in particular, and I got an opportunity to take a short road trip with No Way that Aaron has mentioned already. And, you know, last year we were fortunate enough to have No Way and his wife to come and to visit with us. And, you know, hearing of someone and getting to know them are two different things. And I obviously knew that he was a great man, had a great ministry and a great heart. But I got to take a few minutes with him just to go by and on the way to pick up some supplies for the wrap-up for the VBS. That Sunday we're there was Father's Day. So I got to celebrate Father's Day twice this year. But Noah wanted to go by his parents' home. I hope he's up here with his sister and his mom and dad. And his dad's 83 years old, and it was just wonderful to get to take a few minutes to meet his family. But what I really noticed right away, even on the trip there, is No Way asked me about my family and asked me about my children. And he spoke of his son, and he said that he and his son had took up fishing recently and were trying to, you know, find an opportunity to go. He said, we hadn't caught anything yet, but we sure enjoy going. I was like, well, that sounds like me and my son here recently. But as we went in and visited with his mom and dad and his sisters, before he even got to the house, I realized what a huge figure he was, not just physically, because he makes Michael look small, but he actually, the way that his own community greet him, the way his family greet him. You know, his mom was there, and I saw them going through some papers and looking at some stuff kind of intently and reading, and he told me, he said, and I remembered his mom was battling cancer. His mom needs surgery. It's like $25,000, and they're trying to go through some support there through the government to get help for that. You know, and I realized him talking to me about his 10-year-old son he's trying to spend time with, and his mom that's battling cancer, and realizing what a huge part of his home community there he is, but yet he's trying to serve in his church, and he's also a huge part of time ministry. I realize God gave him those big shoulders for a reason. There's a lot on them. But what I wanted to say to you was what a wonderful opportunity that was to actually get to know this man and what's on his heart. So I appreciated that little hour side trip and got to ride with him in his 2500 diesel, and he's not afraid to use the horn. And I like that. I like that. He said it made him real nervous driving in the States because we got too many rules. I said, I can understand. Y'all just make them up as you go. But it was a wonderful, just a few minutes of a time out to see him go by and visit with his family. And I just asked him if I could take that picture of him. I said, I just wanted to share this family with my church. I said, you know, because he's not just a man with one thing to do. Maybe we can relate. Maybe our pastors can relate. They've got a family. They've got a church. They've got needs in their own family. He's got a heart for the Lord. He's got a heart for the lost. He's only got a certain amount of time to do it. And I think he does a remarkable job. So I can only imagine what it means to him to know that there's Americans here that love them and pray for them and want to come be a part of his ministry with him. He's not alone. You know, we're a small part, but together, God can do great things with us. So one thing, you know, is I just want to reflect on that time with him. It was awesome. And just realizing that there's a humility about No Way that I've not seen that often. There's a calmness about him, and I know it comes through the Lord, only from the Lord. You know, we had a couple situations there, and, you know, we put 4 tons on a 3-ton truck, and, you know, we had some issues and, you know, a real tense time there, and I never saw him get flustered, and we were like, you know, this is when we were trying to get to the community where we were going to erect a chapel and put a roof on the existing building, and, you know, and I'm just thinking, oh, my goodness, we're just not going to make it. I can't believe we're not going to make it, Lord. I mean, you know, I know you're going to use this, but he stayed calm, and he relied on the Lord, and miraculously that was taken care of, and we were on our way. He still made it back in time to eat and make the banquet, so God was in charge. And also, you know, we put 40-some kids in the back of his pickup truck, and he never got stressed a bit. In Dominican, 40 kids in the back of a pickup truck, and he still wasn't stressed. So what an example he was through his faith and his servanthood to his community. But there again, keep him and his family in your prayers, as that was a really meaningful time for me to realize, you know, these are real people with real obligations. You know, it's when someone, a missionary, comes by your church or you see a missionary's picture, wow, his life must be really great. He's got time to serve the Lord. Well, you know what? He's serving the Lord in the midst of his own difficult situations. So what's my excuse? And one thing I wanted to share about this, this to be, and I thank the Lord for this, away for a week with no phone service, no data, no texting for a week. I encourage you, do that here. Even if you don't go on a mission trip, just cut that thing off and see how your life is. And I'm just thankful that Wendy had a way of getting in touch with me if she needed to, and I knew everything was fine. And I thank the Lord for that peace of mind and knowing that, you know, God's going to take care of home while I'm here. So, you know, whatever it is that maybe we need a time out from, I encourage you, if you don't go to the DR, take a time out from the regular every day, and maybe you'll hear God's voice in a clearer way than you've heard in the past. But thank you, church, for all your support and for what this trip has meant to me.
Hello, my name is Megan. While we're on the mission trip, the thing that definitely stood out to me the most is that God has a way of getting our attention one way or another. The past 3.5 years, our family has been through several very intense times. My daughter Abigail and I were involved in a very serious automobile accident on the due date of our 4th child. We lost our son Judah in that accident. My body has had to heal from several physical injuries. My husband and I have had to watch our children struggle with the emotions of losing their brother and just that reality that their mom and dad aren't invincible. Trying to juggle the changes in our businesses with me not able to work, their stress, my husband and I have had to walk through together dealing with the grief of the loss of our son and the change of our life in so many ways. And there is this intense desire that I had that I needed to fix it. I definitely journeyed through all kinds of emotions, from anger to sadness to guilt to questioning God. And I am grateful to say that in the last 6 months, he had definitely started giving me a peace and a place of acceptance, knowing that he loved me and that he was there for me and my family. He did promise in his word that he would never leave or forsake me, so I had found comfort in knowing that, but I still had this intense desire and need to fix that emptiness and that I felt and just the chaos around me. I believe that often with the best of intentions, I try to do God's job for him. I realized that on this mission trip, that I knew God loved me and would never leave or forsake me, and that he had a plan for me and my family, but that I hadn't truly taken that to heart and truly surrendered to him and allowed him to take total control. Well, this changed on the mission trip. I love to serve people, and I did feel that God had laid it on my heart to go and take the kids on this mission trip. But I didn't really know why or go with any certain expectations. I almost also backed out at the last minute because of my need to protect my children and my concern of all the what ifs. What if something went wrong? What if something happened? I couldn't live through another tragic loss or another tragedy. But with those reservations, we all went on the trip. I knew it would remind us all to be more grateful for the things that we have, but little did I know that we would receive much more than that. On day 3, when we were in a village doing vacation Bible school, there were over 200 children. I had the privilege of holding several of their babies. I think that might be what's up on the screen. Amidst all the chaos, while I was holding one precious little boy, I just started praying for him and his life and his future. And something happened that I could hardly put into words. It was as if God laid in my heart that even though I might not be able to mother my son Judah. That doesn't mean that he doesn't have children for me to love and to serve and a purpose for my life. There was a peace that came over me of truly knowing and believing that I can release all of this into God's hands and that he has been and will continue to take care of me and my family. The words of the Bible came alive to me in that moment of being away and being still from all of life's normal distractions. Just the knowing that I don't have to fix it, I don't have to solve anything, that what God asks of me is just to listen and to be obedient. I also realized and was humbled by the fact that me trying to fix everything, I wasn't showing a true example to my children of relying on God and fully surrendering to him and trusting him. We must be hearers and doers of his word. We must get to know our Heavenly Father and fully trust his plan. I am so thankful for the peace that he blessed me with while on this trip, and I encourage any of you that have a pull to go and serve to just listen and act. We can serve in our families, we can serve here in our church, we can serve here in our community, and out on the mission field. I know not only what we did there changed lives in the Dominican Republic, but what I, and I'm sure our whole team, brought back to our families here in our community can change right here where we live. I am very excited to be a part of a church that is committed to loving God and loving our community both locally and globally. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Braxton. As a teenager in today's culture, I didn't realize how distracted my life could be with all these things of this world pulling at my heart and at my time. Things like social media, cell phones, friends, school, and even sports tended to consume most of my time. And I fit God in when I could, but I did fit him in regularly, so I thought I was okay. While I was on the mission trip, I was completely unplugged from my cell phone and friends here in North Carolina. And I realized that I need to spend more time with God. I'm at a place in my life where I want to have direction and a purpose. And I know, as the Bible states in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for good and not evil, plans for a future and a hope." Well, if I truly want to know and feel confident in my purpose, I need to get to know my Heavenly Father some more. How can I expect to know someone that I fit in when I can? I must make God a priority. Every morning at the mission house, I was woken up by one of the interns named Kenny, and he would say to us, good morning, hallelujah, Jesus loves you. And being woken up this way made me realize that when my first thoughts are about God, then my day became more about serving and pursuing the path he has planned for me that day. My plan is, with God's help, is to continue making him a priority daily and just say yes to God. I hope this encourages someone here to do the same. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Abby. I was nervous about going on the mission trip and I didn't know what to expect. I was scared I might get hurt. Once we arrived and were driving to the mission house, I prayed that God would protect me because it was so different there. Our first day of building the pieces for the chapel was awesome. I couldn't believe that I could help build a chapel. I definitely realized that with God, all things are possible because I didn't know anything about construction and it all came together. I also realized that God's love does not know language, color, or location in this world. When I got to the places where there were Dominican children, they instantly started playing with me, and I started playing with them. They welcomed me, and I was able to show God's love to them through simple high fives, playing tag, and hide and seek. Even though we could only communicate very little, God allowed me to show his love and to feel his love from them. A special girl named Nani was so excited to see me every day and was so grateful that we came to share Jesus' love every day. I am so glad that I went on the mission trip and can't wait to go back.
I don't think I need this stool. My name is Haley. For many years, I've been guilty for ignoring God and running in the opposite direction from Him. I was scared to be challenged and to take risks because I was comfortable where I was. But guess what? God doesn't call us to be comfortable. When Michael asked me to go on the mission trip to the DR, before I could even stop myself, I said yes. This was the first time I said yes without playing the what-if game. And by that, I mean going back and forth in your head saying, what if my job doesn't let me? What if I can't raise the funds? What if something else comes up? I honestly had no idea how God was going to use me for this trip. And I felt like I would kind of be dead weight on the team because I'm obviously no carpenter. For the past year, I had questioned whether or not I was pursuing God's will or my own. I've known since I was a little girl that I wanted to be a nurse, but the older I got, the more I questioned, did I become a nurse for God or for myself? Did I choose my own path or did I obey God's calling? Working in the emergency room as a registered nurse is a challenging and stressful job. It's definitely not always rainbows and butterflies. Sometimes it's good, sometimes the outcomes are bad. I wondered why God would put me in such a stressful job and how in the world could I serve Him in that kind of environment. Well, this past week, I felt God work through me. I became the nurse on the First Baptist Church of Shiloh mission team. I've been praying and asking God to show me my spiritual gift for a while now because I was unsure of exactly what my purpose is in this life. God showed me how to use my spiritual gift in ways that I could never imagine. During vacation Bible school, there were 300 plus kids with very few adults, and there were a couple of injuries that happened, and Nurse Haley was called to the job. There was one particular little girl who cut her ankle. All I did was clean her cut, put an antibiotic ointment on it, and bandaged it up. Nothing major. She looked at me with big, beautiful eyes, and tears flooded in her eyes, and she jumped in my arms and gave me the biggest hug. A simple Band-Aid and a compassionate heart gave this small little girl such joy and happiness. We often take for granted all the small things in life and don't realize that our small things, such as a Band-Aid, are like treasures to those who have never seen such. God showed me that our stressful situations and jobs are nothing in comparison to the daily lives of those around us. Reflecting on the questions I was asking God before showed me that God had been preparing me and shaping me for what He needed me to do in the Dominican Republic. If there is one thing you take away from this message, it is to surrender and say yes. Stop playing the what-if game and the why-me game and just trust God. God showed me His grace and sovereign heart through a Band-Aid. Imagine if we cleared our mind of all the earthly clutter and just focused on God's will, what would we see? Just say yes and God will show you. Our job is not done in the Dominican, and I hope y'all can join us next year.
Good morning. My name is Kelly. I've been a longtime friend of Justin Hayes. I don't know a lot of Spanish, so I didn't know how I would talk to these people. I did learn one phrase, and it's really stuck with me, and I say it every day. And it says, "Cuán grande es Dios." And that simply means, "How great is our God?" Each individual person in our group felt God tugging on their hearts to serve in the DR. I'm very thankful to have been part of this family. On Thursday night at the banquet, we had a time of sharing what God has done through time in our lives this week. I tended to tell a story as my testimony. My story was one about me spiritually running away from God. At a young age, I was active in youth group at church, but as a high school graduate, I wanted to do my own thing. So I ran away from God and lived how I wanted to. I always felt God pulling on me and never turned around or looked back. Before this trip, I spiritually and emotionally fell on my face. After this, I found that God has always been right there for me to pick me up again. I was able to attend the service last year when the group presented, and I always felt sense that I really wanted to go. but I was afraid that God would never be able to use me because of how I live. During our sharing time, Shane said, God is not looking for our ability, but our availability when it comes to serving him. At first, I wanted to go to the DR to help those that I thought had less than me. After returning home, I read an article that Time posted. It read, if at the end of your trip you say, I am so thankful for what I have because they have so little, then I believe we missed the point. We are all poor, but maybe we hide behind our stuff. There's material poverty, physical poverty, spiritual poverty, and systemic poverty. Basically, we all have to acknowledge our own brokenness and need for God before we can expect to serve others. At the beginning of our trip, Mike issued the challenge that we would take the time to reflect on our lives and to be open for what God has for us. This week, God has shown me that I need to start running a different direction, spending more time in my relationship with him, and to always be open what he has for me. Paul said, while being in prison, in his letter to the Philippians, that I can do some things through Christ who strengthens me. No, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So my challenge to you is, just as Shane said, to not worry about your ability and just be available to serve God. Thank you.
When I first got to the DR, I introduced myself as Coach A, and they looked at me like, what? So A down there is pronounced Ah. So from then on, the whole week, I was called Coach Ah. The last couple of years, Michael's been trying to get me to go on a mission trip to the DR, and it's been weighing heavily on my heart. So I put my schedule aside and decided to go. Not knowing what to expect out of my very first mission trip ever at my age, God gave me a push toward the DR. Well, I honestly believe that God has a plan for everybody, and his plan for me is to teach young people. Baseball was something I loved to teach, so I asked myself, why not teach the word of gospel through baseball in the Dominican? So, you know, that push was something I needed from God. My mission was down there was to, you know, spread the word through baseball camps. So my first day of camp, my very first day of camp down there, I walk up on a baseball field with a rusty chain link fence backstop, a dirt infield with rocks all on it, three bases and a home plate cut out of rubber mat, and a pitching rubber made out of a piece of wood with 60 kids standing there waiting on me, 60 of them. So we divided kids up into four groups, three being fundamental groups, which we was teaching fundamentals of, you know, baseball, and one group for ministry. Well, Justin, Kelly, and myself done the fundamental group, and Shane, he took the ministry group in behind that rusty backstop, and we rotated around. And that day went very well. I thought for 60 kids and, you know, four Americans and four interpreters, because we had to have them, because none of them spoke English. The last day of camp, we gathered all the kids up around home plate. Well, the last day of camp, my three helpers, they went to VBS. So I was left on the field by myself, the only American, and John Carlos, which was my interpreter, and two Dominican interns. with 60 kids. So we decided, we gathered them up at home plate, done a little 30-minute speech and demonstration on how to hit. And then we chose up four teams and played games. I stood there in awe with the talent that I saw, with kids with, raggedy tennis shoes on. But I noticed one thing about those kids. They played hard, and every one of them had a pair of baseball pants on. Every one of them. So at the end of the camp, or let me back up. After we got through playing games, John Carlos and myself handed out some T-shirts, hats, uniforms, and some old baseball equipment that the local baseball organizations around here, the youth leagues, donated, and we hauled it all down to the Dominican, and we handed it out. Those kids, it was like Christmas times 10. At the end of the camp, they had a youth league coach there that sort of generated the enthusiasm there in that area for baseball. He gathered everybody around home plate and presented certificates to our coaches. And after that, we shook hands, he hugged me, embraced me, and he this is what he told me. He said, "Coach Ah," he said, "nobody has ever come to this area and done what we done." And at that moment, I praised God for that push. That push to the DR. It had an impact on those lives, those young lives down there, and it blessed me more than it did them. God moves in many ways, and when I saw how he moved when we constructed and assembled a chapel and another roof on another existing building all in one day, that was a movement I'll never forget. I want to thank these people behind me, Team 18, for their help and guidance, especially in Miami, because if it hadn't have been for them, I'd probably still be there. In closure, you have these moments that God touches you. If I can get through this one. In closure, I had a 9-year-old camper come up to me, tap me on my arm, and look up at me in them big brown eyes and said, "Coach Ah, are you ever coming back?" At that time, I knew God's work through me was not done in the DR. And I got a little something special. This is not planned. I got a little something special I'm going to give Pastor Bob from Team D, Team 18, and the Dominican. I'm going to come down and give it to him.
have any surprises, so just so you know. Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Alicia. I've been attending First Baptist Church for quite some time now, and this is my second time traveling with the church to the DR. When I think about missions across country, a lot of cliche words come to mind. Awesome, amazing, moving, life-changing, all of which are true. But it was not until I actually got to experience for the first time what exactly I was getting myself into. As I mentioned before, this is my second go-round traveling out of the country to the DR. The first trip in the summer of 2013, I went without my parents or any family members for that matter. And although it was full of challenge, a huge leap in faith, and a realization that I needed the DR more than the DR needed me, I still questioned my purpose. For me, to be completely honest, my life, what I'm doing, and a lot of the ways I think have a lot to do with the missions to the DR. The Bible tells us in Matthew 16:24-25, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." I'm a firm believer in this. Deny yourself, God tells us, and if you deny yourself, you will find your purpose. You will find yourself. Clinging to that verse, I sought to find my purpose in falling so deeply in love with this country and the people. Questions like, why did I decide to go the summer of 2013? Why did I apply as an intern for the entire summer of 2014? And why again did I decide to go the summer of 2015? God, what is my purpose? During our week's stay this past summer, a group got to attend a youth service Sunday night. We ate together, fellowshipped amongst one another, worshiped together, and even shared some tears and laughs. It came time to hear some testimonies. Little did I know, I was about to find out my purpose. A young Dominican boy got up and shared his story. Through translation, I interpreted something along the lines of, "I gave myself to the Lord when the Americans came to our youth group one summer." Why go, you ask? Galatians 5:13 tells us, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." If we would just sit back, deny ourselves, and deny our desires and life, and find trust in Him, He will help you find your purpose. Thank you.
All right, Michael told me I had 36 minutes, and I'm not real sure I'm going to get this done in 36 minutes, so I apologize in advance. And I'm just kidding. It's not 36 minutes. All right. Basically, this is my second year. I'm Justin Hayes, by the way. This is my second year going on this trip to the Dominican Republic. And every year, these past 2 years, I've received a blessing each time. And each of those blessings was completely different from the previous, whether it was good last year or good this year or through bad times this year, because we had a little bit of both both years. Last year I had doubts on whether I should go, whether I was worthy of taking this journey to do God's work in another country. I finally said yes, and I found peace in that decision. That peace came once I was there, once I saw what my purpose was there to do. And I knew that I wanted to come back here to the States and tell you guys about it, so I did last year. And I decided this year I would go back to help those down there, to help build a chapel to serve my purpose. Let me tell you a little bit about this trip. We raised money as a group. We raised money individually. We had spiritual support from the church. So I knew that if we were to trust in God, if it was meant for us to go, that it would work out. And it did. Now, at first, I was a little nervous. We got the schedule. There was two other groups going to be there from Florida. I knew that we were going to be the last group arriving late at night, and that we were going to get the beds that no one wanted. And if you've ever been to the DR, you know that those beds are sacred, and bed placement is crucial down there. So I was a little nervous about that because I like to sleep. Now, you've heard everyone up here. They've spoken nine different stories, eight different stories about what's blessed them, what they got out of this week. I'm going to focus on something a little bit different. You're going to hear more good than bad, but I'm going to talk more about the negative things right now. I know, shock. So, you see, as a Christian, you have to remember that you're going to have sunny days and you're going to have stormy days. And a lot of times, as a Christian, I think we find too much comfort in those sunny days. And when we hit those storms that arise, we're not prepared for them, and we let the storm wash out any progress that we've made previously. So let's look at a few storms really fast. We arrived Saturday morning at 2 a.m. to the house. We've been traveling for about 8 hours trying to get those sacred beds. We couldn't wake anybody else up because they were getting up about 2 hours before us, so we had to do everything in the dark. And then we were up at 7 a.m. to do a full day's work as well. A minor storm, nothing major. Tuesday, you've heard that we've had several hundred kids there at the Vacation Bible School. I think Tuesday there was about 200 kids, roughly the size of that kitchen back there, and in a room roughly the size of the kitchen back there, two rooms. The lady said there were six small fights that broke out at Vacation Bible School. The kids were getting a little rowdy. The full-time missionaries had to break things up, and then when the ladies and a few gentlemen came back that night, they were visibly upset and visibly shaken. On Wednesday, we had cut about 300 pieces of cake for the Vacation Bible School attendees. We ended up running out of 300 pieces of cake. Now, I don't know if there was 300 people there or not, but there were kids. We put them in a line. We were having to escort them out of the gate. There was a gate there at the church we were at. We were having to escort them out. They brought me in. You heard that I didn't go back to baseball camp because they had us as bodyguards. I was holding the gate shut while kids were beating me in the back of the head, trying to get me to let them back in the gate, using the excuse of going to the bathroom, trying to climb over the fence. They were trying to, there was a fence around the entire house. They were trying, or the church, and they were trying to climb over the fence just to get back in and grab more cake. It was quite an experience, and I could see why the ladies were visibly shaken the night before. There were a few fights that night as well, but we got through it. And then Thursday, as probably most of you know, we had some issues with the truck. We had loaded the chapel the night before. We had put a much larger roof on the truck as well. As Shane said, a 4-ton load on a 3-ton truck. And we took off down the road. And when we got, we hit a pothole, and the entire truck shifted to the right side. And when it shifted, you could see the truck bed was actually starting to buckle with all of the weight on it, and we had to drive roughly 50 kilometers to get to our location. It took us about 4 to 4.5 hours to get to the location. It only took us an hour and a half to get back that night because of all the work we had to do. On the way there to the chapel, we fixed the problem with the truck. It shifted again, but we prayed the rest of the way that there would be no more damage and we could get there and do what God had sent us there to do. At one point, there was a guy that had to climb up on top of the truck. He had to take a 2x4, and with live power lines, he had to actually hold the power lines up just so we could make it through the village in hopes that we weren't destroying the power for the entire village. And if you've never seen a power line running into a village in the Dominican Republic, it's more like a ball of yarn. So once you take one out, you're going to take the entire village out. And then our last storm came Friday night when our flight from Miami, or to Miami, was delayed an hour, which gave us 2 hours to clear customs and went to make our flight from Miami to Raleigh. When we arrived in Miami, it was more like a scene from the movies. Several planes waiting on the runways, attempting to take off. Several planes sitting on the runways, just trying to let people off of the planes. They had told us that it would be about a 30-minute wait. That 30-minute wait ended up turning into an hour and a half on the plane with jet fuel running through the cabin, or the smell of jet fuel running through the cabin. And we eventually got off the plane a little bit before 8:30. That put us 35 minutes from the time we got off the plane to run through customs, to grab our bags, to recheck our bags, to get on our plane at 9:05. Probably most of you have heard we did not make that flight. And there was about 1,000 other people with American Airlines that didn't make their flights as well. So there was about 1,000 of us sitting in American Airlines, their concourse area, trying to find flights to and from Miami to wherever our locations were. We were hungry, we were tired, we were frustrated, we were ready to get home. We'd been gone about 9 days. This hectic yet awesome week had been thrown a major curveball by the devil, and we couldn't find a flight out that would accommodate all 18 of us. So basically, we had some women on the phone trying to get some people on some planes to go from Fort Lauderdale to Raleigh, from Fort Lauderdale to Charlotte, from Fort Lauderdale to wherever it may take us in hopes that we could get home to Raleigh in a timely manner. Eventually, there was only four seats available as a direct flight from Miami to Raleigh, and the next available flight wasn't until Sunday, so we were still working, trying to figure out how we were going to get home. We eventually took a car. We rented it about 11:30 Friday night. Our GPS said, oh, we'll be home about 11:15 to 11:30 Saturday morning. So we said, okay, well, that'll be the best option. We ended up in a traffic jam in Fort Lauderdale at 1 a.m. after we ate at the Waffle House. That was Coach Oz's decision. We had several other issues on the road. And eventually, 16 to 17 hours later, we arrived home. I think we got to Raleigh. You know, it's kind of hard driving past the exit to Shalhoub on Interstate 95 knowing you're so close, but yet we had four cars sitting at the Raleigh airport trying to get home. So some of us, we took the van to Shalhoub. The others who were driving, we ended up in Raleigh about 1 o'clock, and I'm assuming everyone got home about 4:30-ish on Saturday. I know that was a lot to say, and I know it probably didn't sound that terrible to some. But when you're doing God's work or living for Christ, regardless of where and who you are, the devil is fighting for every inch. He wants every inch that he can in order to ruin a blessing that you may have. In this case, he was wanting to ruin the fact that we put a roof on a building to hold church fellowship. He wanted to ruin the fact that we built a chapel for a village where others will come to know Jesus in the future and serve an almighty God. And the devil may be trying to ruin something in your lives right now that has absolutely nothing to do with a mission trip or missions or this trip. You may be experiencing that storms, but we as Christians can find hope knowing that God is with us every step of the way, whether we can see it at the time or not. If you don't believe me, look in the Bible at the story of Jonah and the whale, Daniel in the lion's den, and when the disciples were with Jesus on the boat during the storm. It said Mark 4:37-40, a fierce windstorm arose and the waves were breaking over the boat so that the boat was already being swamped, but he was in the stern sleeping on the cushion. So they woke him up and said to him, Teacher, don't you care that we're going to die? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, Silence, be still. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And then he said to them, Why are you fearful? Do you still have no faith? Here we have the disciples scared and fearing death. Jesus stands up and takes those fears away. Even with the devil taking away the majority of our sunny days this week or in the future or whenever it is, Jesus can calm any storm that we face as long as we trust him. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. Think about him in all of your ways and he will guide you in the right paths. I spoke to my mom that Friday night, and my mom has preached to me from day one. You know, when I left for college, I got married, had children. She said, Everything happens for a reason. She said that to me just about every time I talked to her on the phone. And she was struggling that night. She said, I just don't understand. And it's really, you know, here in Proverbs, it's not our job to understand. It is our job to trust, and he will guide us. And lastly, there's three things that need to happen when these storms arise. Number one, we need to praise God. Sometimes it's easy to forget these wonderful blessings that you may or may not hear about or have heard about today. Even in the storm, we need to praise God for those blessings. If we don't, we are letting the devil inch closer and closer. Number two, we need to pray. We need to pray that God will have his will in our lives and get us through these storms. If we are not seeking his guidance, then how can we expect him to help us weather the storm? And number three, just go. As Christians, we need to go and work for God. Whether it is in the mission field or at your friend's house for dinner on a Saturday night, everyone is called to do something for him. I will leave you with this verse out of Matthew 28:19-20. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of age. What are you going to say yes to? When are you going to trust God?
This was my fifth trip to the Dominican Republic, and my heart and love for the DR started back in my junior year of high school back in 1994 when my youth pastor took me there. Back then, little did I know how God would use that experience to place a passion for missions in my heart. Parents, I want you to think about what you've heard from many who are here today. You never know who God's going to use to be a leader of a trip for a group. You never know how many others are going to experience that blessing by just attending your first trip. And so I want you to think about that. Think about each one of these testimonies you heard. I want to share with you real quick just a recap of what each of these people have said. Kelly mentioned, which direction are you running? Aaron said something, one purpose, to proclaim the gospel. Coach A, he said, living out my purpose and saying yes to God. Haley mentioned saying yes to God and running towards our Father. Braxton, saying yes to God, making him my number one priority daily. Megan mentioned replacing my emptiness with God, the only real fix solution. Her daughter, Abby, said, overcoming fear. Justin mentioned, who will you trust during life's storms? And Alicia mentioned about loving one another. And Shane shared what it meant to be a part of family. I believe God has woven the challenge and focus of this morning's message to remind us, each of us, you guys sitting out there, to obediently use our lives, our passions, and our talents for God's purposes. I believe each team member's testimony you have heard this morning demonstrates God's faithfulness and blessing in our lives and the lives of others when we obey His calling. With that said, I want to spend a few minutes that I have to examine the call of a faithful man back in Genesis 12, Abram. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country, from your relatives, and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. What can we learn and take away from Abram's call and from the testimonies that you have heard this morning? First, God calls. If you're sitting at home tomorrow, or even after you leave here from church, and you suddenly heard God's audible voice instructing you to do something extreme, audacious, or risky, how would you react? Notice, Abraham didn't know every detail God's call would ultimately require. Coach A, couple years running from God, finally says yes. God doesn't always give us the answers when He calls us to do something. This was true for Abraham's call. This is true for our call. Make no mistake, God still calls us today. But we have a slight advantage over Abraham. We have the Bible. Scripture is God's complete revelation to His children. Romans 12:2 says this, and do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Maybe you're sitting out there and you're wondering, what is God's purpose for my life? How can He use me? How often are you renewing your mind through reading God's word, where He gives us the direction and the source of wisdom that we need to take that step? How often are you filling it with TV? How often are you filling it with Facebook and other avenues? Are you being conformed or transformed? In God's word, we have all we need to see exactly what God expects from us, and we can read the accounts of men and women who obediently responded to God, and we can also learn from those who didn't. While the exact picture of what our call will look like may not always be clear to us, we can know beyond a shadow of any doubt that God calls us and desires for us to respond obediently. Number two, second, we respond. First, God calls. Second, we respond. Look at what Abram did in verse 4. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. When you read through the Bible, you meet people who obediently responded to God and people who did not respond in obedience. The same can be observed today. Question to think about for each of you out there. Why do some people respond to God's call while others don't? People respond differently. Some choose to respond, others decide not to. Responding to God's call can mean saying no to certain things, such as infidelity, underage drinking, hatred, gossip, violence, and so on. But it also means saying yes to a whole list of things. Living a life of purpose. Discovering the joy of following God's plans. Seeing friends' lives changed because you shared the good news of Christ. Helping the needy because of your compassion towards others. Responding to God means allowing God to use your life to do powerful things that He's created each of you to do. First, God calls. Second, we respond. Third, God works through your response. Abram's life gained a tremendous amount of influence and impact because of his faithful response. As I share these next three questions, I want you to pause and reflect and think about the answers to these questions in your heart with your life right now. If you could summarize in one sentence your life's purpose as you currently understand it, how would you define it? If you could summarize, or if you could sum up God's purpose for your life, would your definition and His definition be different? Think of the people in your own life who seem to be making a real difference for Christ. How do they allow God to use their life in such powerful ways? And then third, are you holding back from God? Any of you guys out there, are you holding back from God? Have you responded in full obedience to God's call to live a life of world-impacting purpose? Our lives are a gift. We didn't really do anything to deserve them or earn them. God gave them to us, and God gave them to us so that we'd have the chance to follow Him. God gave them to us so we could get on board with His plan to redeem the world from sin. Your life has amazing potential. All that's left is your decision to give up your agenda for God's agenda. You will lose nothing of worth or significance in the process. Instead, you'll gain a life of purpose and meaning, being used by God to impact the world in His name. So how do we apply what you've heard this morning? One of the primary ways God has equipped us to live lives of purpose is through our passions and our talents. Think of two or three things that you are most passionate about. What excites you in life? Have you ever considered that that might be very well how God has hardwired you to be passionate about those things? What if you could use those passions to answer God's call to make His name known in the world? If you were honest, or if we were honest with ourselves, and maybe with everyone sitting in here today, if we even had time to talk with one another, is there anyone here who's being called to do something that yet you have not responded? What would it look like if every person in this room was answering God's call and living out their purpose to serve Him? Would we have positions coming up in the nursery that are vacant? In the Sunday school teachers, with the children without teachers to teach the classes? Would we have a leader to serve in our men's or women's ministry? Would we have leaders to serve in our RAs or our GAs and our Wednesday nights? Would a position be vacant in the church? Do you believe God equips the people He's brought here to lead and serve Him? Are we saying yes or no to God? Whose agenda are we more concerned with? His or ours? Next week, you're going to see in the bulletin some of the different opportunities that are coming up this year to serve Ian Buchanan is going to be in the back from the nominating committee, and there's many areas in which are open and you can talk to him about. You saw opportunities through the church we have through Upward Sports or through the children's ministry to where you can get involved. I want to ask you this question, church. I want you to think about this. This coming year, this coming school year, how will you invest your time? I said this a couple years ago, no way. When I first met him in 2004, he was just starting out there. And now here, 7 to 10 years later, he's built over 200 chapels all around his community where people have a place to worship, to serve God, to love God. He's learned English fluently, and he's leading devotions for groups, speaking and teaching us in English. He's impacting all of the interns who work alongside of him, training them up in the way that they should follow, not only training up his children in the same way. How will you use your time this coming year? How might God want to use you? And is he speaking something to your heart? I pray he is, because we have a lot of needs and a lot of opportunities. God wants to use you. Will you say yes? Let's pray. Father God, as we close this morning, I can't help but think of the testimonies I heard. Megan, with the powerful heart of holding that precious baby, and maybe how you've used her life and shown her a different way with that child. Maybe there's someone out here in the congregation who's experienced the same loss and they need to feel that same touch. I don't know what it is today, Lord, but I believe that there's work you're doing in someone's heart. And I pray, Father, that they would use this next little bit of time to come to the altar and just ask you what it is that you want them to say yes to. And I pray, Father God, that they would spend that time wisely. And that, Father, they would do business with you here today. Let them not leave here without doing the business they need to do with you. I pray this in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.